Hey Indie Tribe, Courtney Studensky here, Executive Director of the Indie Foundation. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you all to some of our amazing upcoming indie events. Make sure you save the date for our Babes, Wine, and Galentine's Fashion Show for a Cause with White Peony Boutique on February 13th, 2025. And make sure you mark your calendars for our biggest event of the year, our Bow Ties and Arrows Gala, scheduled for March 29th at the Park Event Center in Waite Park. Sponsorship opportunities and tickets will be available soon. Make sure to watch out on our social media for all the details. And remember, Indy, I'm not done yet.
Welcome to Indy Foundation Connecting Through Cancer podcast. I'm your host, Kayla Keenan, founder of Indy Foundation, a nonprofit located in central Minnesota. Here at Indy, we believe in supporting and connecting cancer warriors throughout their cancer journey. Our mission is to provide financial and community support to cancer warriors across Minnesota. Join us as we share inspiring stories, valuable resources, and important updates to help you and your loved ones navigate the challenges of cancer with strength and hope. Thank you for tuning in and being part of our Indie Tribe.
Welcome back, everyone, to Connecting Through Cancer podcast. This is your host, Kayla Keenan. And today I felt it on my heart to share something that I experienced because I think it is something maybe you experienced or can relate to. And I just really wanted to, one, maybe get it off my chest, but two, just let you know that you're not alone. So I guess I'll title this Trauma Triggers. And I personally hate the word triggers because I feel like that is a term we use a little loosely now, but it's what I experienced today. So I had to go down to Rochester, Minnesota for work. And if you're not familiar with Rochester, it's a beautiful city. It's big, it's growing, and it's home to one of the biggest and best, in my opinion, in the world, medical facilities, Mayo Clinic. And I'm already going to get emotional. I have not been down in Rochester since spring of 2017. And some of you listening already know my story, but if you don't, at the age of 28, I became a widow to my late husband, Kyle, who lost his battle with cancer. And so my last time in Rochester was spring of 2017 when we were given the news there was nothing more they could do. And so as I'm driving the streets today, I was like, oh, this looks familiar. Trying to find a place that I need to go to park my car. It didn't really affect me or hit me then, like go about my day. I was kind of running behind, so I wanted to make sure I got to the right place and get to my presentation, start presenting. And one of the clients that I was working with brought up a project that she's working on, one of the buildings at Mayo Clinic. And when she said the name of the clinic, it just stopped me dead in my tracks. It was like I instantly was brought back to that building, to the hospital room, and to that moment when the doctors came in and said, sorry, but we've done everything we can for you. You know, at this point, we're going to turn you over to hospice care. We're going to talk about end of life and take care of you and make sure you're pain free and do everything we can to make sure you live out the last days to the best of our abilities. And so when she said the name of the hospital, it was crazy. Here I am presenting. She's talking about a remodel project and what they need to do. And it was like I wasn't even present. And so I continue on with my presentation. It was a great meeting. It was a great presentation. But then I get to my car. I need to make a few other stops at a couple other clients' offices. Plug in my GPS to see the places that I need to go. And as I'm driving the streets, I lose it. And I break into tears. Because as I'm stopped at a stop sign, I look up and I realize, you know, that was a hospital. I can tell you the floor we were on. I remember looking out the window and thinking, gosh, I just can't wait to get out of this place. Like, we've been in here for 7+ days, maybe 14. I don't even know at that time. We had multiple stays down at Mayo Clinic, but it just all came fluttering back. And I realized I have not, it's been 7, 8 plus years since I've been in that location. And sometimes you forget that those places, those smells, all those things are triggers to the trauma that you once endured. And although Mayo is a wonderful place, the memories that I have there are not all that wonderful. And if you've never experienced something like this, it's really hard to explain or relate to. It doesn't have to be cancer related. You know, we all endure trauma in our lives to different extents. I will say there's even good trauma. There's good trauma, there's bad trauma. We all endure things, right? That's what makes us who we are today. But when I was overcome with tears and those memories and those conversations with the doctors and with Kyle, it just overwhelmed me. And I think it was a good reminder that there's no time stamp on grief. It's different for everyone. Do you ever get over it? Nope, you don't. You learn to live with it. Sometimes, you know, the grief gets smaller, and then you have moments like this where, bam, it just hits you again. Visiting those places that were meaningful can bring back memories. Reaching important life events without them can trigger trauma as well. I think grief triggers can come from anything that reminds someone of the person or situation they've lost. And I had mentioned trauma triggers earlier, but I do truly believe there are grief triggers as well. Today it was a place, tomorrow it might be an anniversary or special date, holiday, birthday, photos, personal belongings. Yesterday I was going for a walk and a monarch butterfly followed me a little ways down the road. And whether you believe in signs or not, if you look up the significance and symbolism of monarch butterflies, they often say that they are people from your past that are visiting you. And so maybe it's not coincidence. Maybe somebody was reminding me that, hey, tomorrow you're going to be in Rochester and it's going to hit you, but it's okay. I don't know. But something I did today is I text a friend who, she's probably listening right now because I know she listens to this podcast often. But I text her and said, hey, do you ever get PTSD from visiting the clinics or hospitals that you spent a lot of time at? And she said, yeah, all the time. And she recently had a situation with one of her kids, and she has a medically complex child as well with different diagnoses. And she told me something that I didn't know about her recent stay with her son. And I think by her telling me that, one, I could relate; two, it kind of gave me validation that it's okay to have these triggers. It's okay. We're human. It's how we process things. But I texted her because I knew she had experienced a lot of trauma, maybe not necessarily cancer trauma, but she could relate to me in that exact moment. I couldn't tell my husband. I could tell my husband, but I feel like he wouldn't relate to me in the same way. And I just wanted someone at that time to be like, yes, and it was okay. And then she sent the sweetest text after listening to one of our episodes. And she said, hey, thank you. Thanks for being my person that texts me or sends me messages on the random days to remind me it's okay. And so I guess my point with all that rambling is find your person that can relate and help you overcome that grief trigger. My grief trigger today, again, was a location, and all those memories come flooding back. And then you always get those what ifs in your head as well. But by texting her, it allowed me to move on about my day, have my moment, and remind myself that I'm human and it's okay. So my point of all of this was We all deal with trauma and grief differently. And I think one of the ways to cope with it is acknowledge the trigger, which is what I did today. I felt overwhelmed and had to understand that it was normal and okay to feel overwhelmed. I felt the emotions without judgment. Luckily, I was in my car. People probably saw me bawling, driving down the streets of Rochester, but that's okay. And I found that person that I could text to, they could validate, yep, your feelings are, it's okay. So I think that's one way to cope, is just by acknowledging the trigger. Another way is preparing for significant dates. I don't really know how you prepare yourself, but when you know the days are coming, something that I've done, for instance, is on the day that Kyle passed, I call it his heaven anniversary. The first 4 or 5 years, celebrated him on that day. So I would always go with friends. We would do some of his favorite things, have his favorite drink, have a toast to him. And I would take the day off work and just go about reminiscing all the good times, the stories, and the things that we did together. It was a great way to create a tradition, honor their memory, and surround myself with supportive people that I needed to be around. I think another way to cope with trauma or grief triggers is to find some healthy outlets, engage in activities that help you process the grief, whether it's journaling, maybe it's a podcast, painting, could be talking with friends, could be exercising, any way that you can release tension. I found during Kyle's sickness that exercise was my outlet. It was my 1 hour a day where I could leave everything at the door. And I know it sounds cliche because a lot of gyms tell you that, but I will tell you I 100% experienced it. I had a gym family that I didn't know anyone, but every day I came in, they welcomed me with open arms. We got our workouts done. We pushed each other, and I was able to relieve some of the stress that I was facing at that time. I will say, in the last couple of years, my healthy outlets have not been as great, and I felt that. And I think partially our lives change. For me, I got married. I have 2 kids, so one, I don't have as much time as I used to have. Your priorities change, but I have found that mentally, I have been in a spot at times where I need to go on a walk for an hour, need to leave the kids, I need to leave my husband, and I just need some me time so that I can mentally get back to the best version of myself. I think another way to process trauma triggers or grief is to create new associations. So instead of avoiding places or things that trigger grief, try to build new positive memories around them over time. Easier said than done sometimes, but I do think, for instance, a good example of this would be, I hate hospitals. I hate the smell of hospitals. Doesn't matter what hospital, but most of my memories at hospitals are not good. And so when I was pregnant and going to have my daughter, I was thankful that I lived in a new town and was not anywhere near either one of the hospitals that Kyle spent a lot of time at. The hospital that I had my daughter at, I love. It doesn't smell, but my memories there are much different. And I have a different association with that hospital than I do every other hospital that I've been in. And it's super weird because I recently toured a hospital in a different state for my job. And I remember turning to my coworker and telling him, I hate hospitals. I hate the smell. And I think partially we were touring a cancer center. So again, maybe that was just a trigger in general because I see these people, I know what they're going through. I probably was triggered that day, but the memories and the association I have with the hospital that my kids were born at is incredible. So I guess that is an example of trying to create new associations, honor their memory, Ooh, that's a big one, right? I may or may not know a little bit about this. Of course, we started Indie Foundation. It was one of Kyle's dying wishes. In his final days, I asked him, "Do you want anything? What are your dying wishes?" And he had two. One, never forget me, and two, get working on Indie. And I had no idea what that meant at the time. But carrying on his memory and legacy in a different way, I think there's nothing cooler than no matter how many days you have on Earth, if people constantly bring up your name in a lot of different ways and how they remember you. And that's one of the coolest things that I love with hearing stories is people typically tell you their fondest memories, why they were attracted to that person. And it's so cool to see how Kyle, in this instance, how he played a part in their life. And so if you're listening today, that's one of my biggest goals in life is I want to be remembered as a person that was real, raw, and giving. And I try to do that daily. I'm human, so I'm not always perfect at it. But I think honoring their memory in a lot of different ways, that can mean something so small as lighting a candle, planting a tree. You could volunteer in their memory, any one of those things, but it can help trigger into a meaningful experience. Another way to help with trauma and grief triggers is talk to someone. And I gave you an example of that earlier. I texted a friend who she maybe hasn't walked the same walk exactly that I have, but she has endured a lot of trauma and a lot of grief in her short amount of time as well. And it's so nice to have that person that you can text, help process the complex emotions, and share emotions with. So thank you, B, for being that person. Another way is to help with grief and trauma triggers is practice self-compassion. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself grace. Healing from grief takes time, and it's okay to feel a mix of emotions. I am on year 7, and while I would like to say that it goes away, again, it never does. Every year, I think, okay, it's getting easier. It doesn't get easier. Also, it feels heavier at certain times of the year. We're approaching the holidays. Kyle's birthday was on Christmas Eve. Sometimes just pressures from life, different things that are happening in your life can also trigger some of the grief and traumas within as well. Last thing that I will say helps with grief and trauma triggers is mindfulness and grounding techniques. When grief hits unexpectedly, breathing exercises, meditation, or focusing on your senses can help bring you back to that present moment. I can relate to this today. I was presenting when the client brought up the name of the building that Kyle was told, there's nothing more we can do for you. I found myself focusing on a spot on the wall. That helped bring me back to where I was and get me out of that moment. I find myself, I've done yoga. If you've never done yoga, you do a lot of breathing, but I find myself sometimes doing yoga breathing or just taking deep breaths and calming. It's kind of funny because my whole way home, I listen to Christian music. And I think Christian music just helps calm, bring a sense of ease back into me, knowing that it's going to be okay. The drive home from Rochester always used to seem so painstakingly long, but I would hit certain points along the highway and be like, oh, I remember that gas station. We stopped there for this. Oh, I remember that Target. Kyle didn't feel good, so you had to get it. I remember all the stops along the way, but I didn't find myself being triggered and crying. Because I had found a new way to process and a new way to remain calm. So my whole point of what I feel like was a rambling podcast was, again, to tell you grief doesn't follow a set timeline. It's deeply personal and unique experience for everyone. It's okay to feel triggered by things. It's okay to have those trauma triggers in those moments. There's no pattern to grief. There's no end date or specific time period. I'm on year 7. I will be living with this for the rest of my life. So if you stuck with me this long, whether you're experiencing grief today, tomorrow, maybe you have some trauma deep within that hopefully is not coming out while you're listening to this, maybe it is. It's okay. It's okay to feel those feelings. It's okay to have those memories come out, have your moment, find your person, do whatever you need to do to process that moment of grief, and know you're not alone. I feel like there's nothing worse than living with grief and trauma within and never finding a way to get it out or process it. We're all human. Remember that. Give yourself grace and give yourself time as well. Thanks for listening today. If you are new to this podcast, sorry for the rambling, but I felt super compelled and connected to share this with you all today as it was a personal experience that was near and dear to my heart. You can follow us on Facebook, Indie Foundation, or you can check us out on our webpage, indie-foundation.org. We do have an inner Indie Tribe Facebook page that is for caregivers, those that are battling cancer, anyone that's been affected by cancer. We do share things on there as well. Give this podcast a like and follow. And thanks for hanging in there. I hope you tune in to future episodes as well. We appreciate you. And remember, you are not done yet.
Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our Indie Tribe. We hope this podcast provided strength and hope to you and your loved ones as you navigate the challenges of cancer. Remember, Indie Foundation has resources available to you. For more information, visit indie-foundation.org. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and please rate and review this podcast. Together, we make a difference in the lives of cancer warriors. Until next time, remember, Indie, I'm not done yet.